Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail.
What?
So, yeah.
What is this like?
So
crazy, pull the train over. Everybody show me your tickets. What?
Yep.
So not that you could pull a train over, but stop.
Well, because I worked on a military base, I was used to this kind
right,
of
attitude. You're like, this is normal.
Yep. So I pull my light rail tickets out, as well as the group I'm with. And he walks by, he looks at mine, looks at theirs, and he just kind of snorts, walks on by, because he couldn't bust us. Okay. So we get to the Baltimore Convention Center. And come to find out, it's a huge party.
Oh, yeah. It's a troll party. You've seen trolls? Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, screamers and balloons and pom-poms and confetti cannons and t-shirt cannons and loud music and flashing lights and strobe lights. And
there are these balloons that you get to hold by the handle. You hold them up over your head and you guys clap them.
Yeah, and you can take a picture and you can hashtag it. And, you know, I mean, this is obviously 15 years ago, so a little different, but it's the same as it is now. It's the same as it is now. Nothing's changed in terms of the rah-rah recruitment indoctrination conventions that these MLMs have.
Yeah. And so
pump you full of toxic positivity, full of just this love bombing energy. And you're like, I am so inspired. And and how much changes?
Yeah, nothing.
All right, so you get to this party and you're like, oh my God, this is totally worth it. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Awesome. Wow, everybody's excited.
No wonder everybody joins these companies. This is incredible.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you meet people from like different parts of the country or other parts of the world. And it's like, you feel like you've known these people all your life.
Yeah, and Donald Trump's going to be there. So it's got to be legitimate.
Now, Donald Trump was going to speak on the last day because he's like the final keynote address.
Right. Right? Yeah.
But in the meantime, it's
ended
like,
on a high note, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. So we're here and we're just, you know, we're so excited. We're, you know, we're hearing like the great speeches. So like the first half, you know, you get out your notebooks, you take a lot of notes, you hear the speeches, and then they break for lunch. Now when you break for lunch, you know, you were only allotted a certain amount of time to go eat. And then, cause you had to go back to the convention center.
Right. Did they have food there, like provided for you, like food booths, or again, it's 15 years ago. So probably not food trucks, but anything like that.
They did have like some food places, some food booths, but those were very extremely pricey.
And the line was probably ridiculous as well.
Yeah. So what my group and I went to, we went to a local McDonald's, which is like right here.
Just go like McDonald's.
Okay.
I'll take a number two with a Coke.
Yeah.
$6. Thank you.
There was also a long line there too, of a bunch right. of reps. Okay. And this McDonald's employee, he sees this. He sees our name tags. He sees who we're with. He sees us being dressed up and he flips out. He's just like, you guys are part of a pyramid scheme. You're not going to make any money on this.
Oh,
you're
my God.
See, you need to wake up.
The employee at McDonald's?
Yeah. He was just going nuts.
The employee at McDonald's. Did everybody hear that? The hourly employee at McDonald's who has benefits and things. I don't know what his rank at a McDonald's was. The McDonald's employee that MLM people are like, you want to be a McDonald's employee forever? He's the one that's like, you guys are in a pyramid scheme. Get a legitimate job. Do you need an application?
Oh, he was just screaming off the top of his lungs.
And crazy.
There was one
in a McDonald's full of ACN people. He's screaming.
Yeah.
You're in. Oh my God. That's incredible. I mean, it probably didn't work, but still very bold.
There, There was actually one lady who was in the line. She was like, you know, an attractive Latina, like East Coast. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, she was just like dishing everything out right back. And she's like, no, you're going to be a McDonald's for the rest of your life because we don't need people like you in ACN. We are here for financial independence and you're going to be a McDonald's for the rest of your life. We don't need people like you.
I'm so sad that this happened 15 years ago and not present day when everyone has a video camera in their pocket, because I would love to see that. I would love to see a MAGA hun battle a McDonald's employee in a term, a battle of the wits of what is and isn't a pyramid scheme. That is incredible. I wish there's a YouTube video of that.
Oh, YouTube was fairly new at that point. Right. We didn't have camera phones, so there was no way. Right.
My gosh.
You know, looking back, that McDonald's employee had more common sense than the rest of us.
The entire people in the restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. So I applaud that guy.
Yeah. I hope he's listening to this. And he goes, oh my God, that's me. If that's you, reach out and let's reconnect.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, so we go through the rest of the convention that, and, you know, the day, and we're tired. We decide to do some sightseeing. We go to a fudge shop near the pier where there's like a bunch of boats. And this pier, this fudge shop is very unique because there's like a lot of minority kids who are singing 60s songs, but they change the lyrics to sing about fudge. Well, you know what? That was very impressive. So we bought a lot of fudge.
Ooh, I love fudge though. And, I mean, it's really hard to convince me to not buy more fudge. Like, yeah. It's very easy. Like, would you like to upgrade to a pound? I'm like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Like, imagine singing and doo-wop. I would have probably bought a lot more fudge.
Oh, and we did. We bought more than we needed. But it's like, one of the songs they were singing was My Girl. And they sang, they substituted My Girl for My Fudge. And we're just, oh, this is awesome. These kids are enjoying themselves. We're going to help them out. We're not only going to buy a lot of fudge, but we're going to put some money in that tip jar because, man, these kids are awesome.
My Fudge. Funny. I could just imagine a barbershop quartet singing My Fudge or something. That's great. I love it.
Yeah.
So you buy all this fudge. You're chilling out at this fudge shop.
Yeah.
Did the kids also tell you were in a pyramid scheme?
they probably knew, but you know what? They're just like, hey.
They're like, you're like, in a pyramid scheme, pyramid scheme, pyramid scheme.
They probably knew you were in a pyramid scheme and wasn't going to make a lot of money, but you're just like, you know what? It's like, at that point, they're probably thinking, yeah, it's like, you know, we're going to make a lot of money off these white people. So.
I mean, that's one of the upsides of these places that have these huge MLM conventions. It is a lot of local generation of income for the community, like, yep. The McDonald's, like that McDonald's is like, we're having a humongous lunch rush today. And the fudge shop, that's like, whoa, we just made so much. We made a week's worth in a minute. Like,
yep.
So, I mean, I try to find the silver lining, obviously. That's one of the very, very fine, fine, fine silver linings of these conventions, is that it does generate a lot of local income for these communities.
It does. It does. Oh, you gotta hear about the second day of the convention. This is where things got very interesting.
Oh, man.
Okay. So the second day, you find out that a lot of these regional vice presidents have created sub-cults within the giant cult.
Oh,
okay.
Because MLM is already the giant cult. And then like each baby MLM underneath the MLM cult are baby cults. So now you're telling me that within ACN, the baby cult of ACN, there are even more tiny, tiny baby cults.
Oh, yes. So we were in one. Yes. So the downline we were in was that jerk that I spoke to in Utah.
The one that told you, how dare you speak to me? You're not successful. Yeah.
Yes, that guy.
Wow.
So
I still can't believe that. I mean, I can, but geez.
So our code of dress was, we were to wear these white button-down collar shirts with black slacks, and the RVP's wife would then hand us these bright red ties.
Like a uniform.
Yes. Okay.
For your individual team cult.
Yeah.
And LuLaRoe, we had like t-shirts made that was like what was it? Team Awesome Sauce. And we all wore it around. I know.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
So we were the team that we were on was called the System, because we were representing the ACN system. Yeah.
The System Syndicate. Get your red ties.
Yes. So we were all standing there in uniform in our
the absurdity uniform. Of this, like hearing the story back and like thinking and knowing that these are cults and like hearing this, it's like, wow. How do you miss it the first time around, right? Like being woke on this side, now you're like, how did I miss it the first time around?
Yeah. So it's like everybody's excited because they're appreciated to be part of that downline. Now there's also a couple of other mini cults as well. So you had a couple of other regional vice presidents that were huge Star Wars fans. So you had one team that was called the Empire and the other that was called Rebel Alliance.
Yeah,
so
I definitely have to put my coffee down because I'm going to spit everywhere with these names. I want to be on the Rebel Alliance though.
Yeah. Oh, get this. So people on the Empire and Rebel Alliance, like the Empire, they're dressed up as Sith Lords and they were carrying these multicolored lightsabers that was just like flashing different colors. And then team Rebel Alliance were dressed as Jedi and they were also waving these lightsabers. And I'm looking at this, I'm confused.
This is something you would see at Dragon Con or Comic Con, not an ACN convention.
Yes. Yes.
I'm like, I've seen these groups of people, but it's been at cons and not MLMs.
Not MLMs. So that's kind of what confused me. And then
like, we just have red ties. I didn't know I could have a lightsaber.
Right? And there's this one other team that also dressed up. And I don't know what the name of that particular team was called, but they wore these black button-down collar shirts, black slacks, and then these bright yellow ties. And they were chanting the leader's name in unison. And I was like, what is this?
Brad, 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 Brad,
yes.
Brad. Oh no.
Well, and the leader of the System, by the way, his last name happens to be Hun.
So I love that.
So I don't know if that's coincidence or not, but yes, his last name is Hun. And now that I said that, a bunch of robots are gonna come and say, "How dare you insult him?
How dare you insult?" Hey, robots. Thanks for the views. Thanks for the downloads, guys. Guess what? Bring the hate, because you know what it does? It just boosts my podcast that much more. Right. If you think that me, Roberta Blevins, hasn't gotten brobot and hunbot hate, that happens all the time. You know how many times people have told me I'm a hater and a bitter person and
I get it too.
I'm so uneducated and I don't know what I'm talking about. And I must have had a really bad experience because it's so, and I'm just like, no, I was a top 1% earner. I was part of it. Like I saw it and I laughed. So no.
Yeah.
No, you can't, you no.
So we're there, you know, we're during the second day of the convention. We're also told a chance that can you do me a huge favor, all of that. There's this one speaker that was very unique. He tries to motivate us by saying, okay, if you have 25 people that you ask to join and 25 people say no, are you going to quit? People say no. If you have 250 people that you ask and 250 people say no, are you going to quit?
No.
If you have 500 people you ask and all 500 say no, are you gonna quit?
Maybe.
No. Well, at that point,
I'd have loved to hear a maybe.
Well, here's why. At that point he snaps us back into reality and he says, yeah, okay, we'll see what happens when you get to 245. And at that point, the room just goes dead silent. It's so quiet, you can hear a pin drop. And when you hear that last statement, it feels like a punch in the gut and a kick in the face.
Right. Like none of you will ever know what it feels like to be told no 250 times, because none of you have the motivation to ask 250 people. So once you get 245 no's, then come talk to me.
Yeah. And then he goes, I promise you some of you will quit. I promise you some of you won't, but those that won't, you have a great opportunity ahead of you. If you just stick to the system, do exactly what we tell you to do. And we promise if you do what we tell you to do, you'll be successful.
I mean, that's true. If you were to do exactly what they told you to do and become the 1% and recruit and get all of these people underneath you and find five people who know five people who know five people and successfully do it, which is impossible, by the way, if you were to do that, yes, it would work, but it still only works for 1% of the people that do it, because there are not enough people in the world for everybody to be the 1%.
No. And those people got in early in the game or have a huge social media and following.
Right. Okay. Right. Or a celebrity, right? Yep. Isn't that the worst? It's celeb. Like, I cannot believe that celebrities and professionals, like people that are licensed, people that have degrees and masters and doctorates, join these companies. It is a massive ethical and moral, like, great. It's just not good. The fact that these professionals even join at all is disgusting. And I know that there's professionals in ACN as well that are hawking this. And these celebrities join these people that are experts, and people join their team very quickly because they're very trusting. Well, I believe what Tori Spelling says. Sure, I'll buy all of her whatever she's selling. She does some online, I don't know. But she's making so much money. If Tori can join and get to the top, I can join and get to the top. And I'm like, I thought Tori Spelling was like a millionaire. Like, why is she joining an MLM? Like, isn't she?
Yeah.
Why does she? What?
Yeah.
I feel like people just don't see, like, that's like a whole scam in and of itself.
No. Okay. Well, it makes it even worse because you have this other guy that talks about swimming, and he says, you can read books on how to swim, but you're not going to learn how to swim until you jump in the water. So we're going to jump in the water right here with ACN. Let's get started. Well, wait a minute. How is ACN compared to swimming? I don't get that. You know, at least with ACN, it's like, I may be drowning in financial debt, but my life isn't at stake. Okay.
There is a fantastic, quote, and I'm trying to find it right here. And it's in Robert's book, Ponzinomics. And it's right here. And it's really funny because I guess I highlight the book as I read it. And I read it when I was using a yellow highlighter. And then when I went to bed, the lights in my bedroom are really warm, so I couldn't see the yellow highlighter, and I switched to a pink one. And I must've read the same page again because I double highlighted this. I woke up and I was like, oh, I highlighted this passage twice, so it must be very important. And what it says, there are far too many variables. This is about understanding MLM, right? There are far too many variables, each affecting the other. Without systemic study, it is beyond comprehension. And here's what I highlighted twice. But even then, the only way you could actually understand how it works, MLM, how it works out in practice, is to join. That way you would see all of the variables interact from experience, but then it is too late.
Yep.
And I love that because it's absolutely true. When I talk to people that have never been in MLM and I'm trying to educate and understand, they're just like, it's so hard to comprehend. And it's like, you really don't understand like the psychological abuse and the manipulation unless you're experiencing it, which is why I really focus on the compassion-based education coming from a place of I've been there before and I know what it's like and I want to help you understand. You know? Gosh.
Yeah.
There's no other way to understand these businesses other than being in them.
Well, case in point, I meet this middle-aged couple. I mean, they look like they're like a biker couple because the guy has like a long braided beard. And we meet them there. They're from New York. And one of the questions I ask them is, so have you done well in this industry? Have you, have you been able to sign people up? And of course, that question makes him uncomfortable. And he's like, well, no, we couldn't get a single family member or friend to sign up. We're still here because we believe in the system, but you know, we're struggling with it. We don't really. And I felt a lot better when they said that because I was in the exact same position they were. Right.
You're like, oh my God, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah.
Even though everyone's telling me that it's me, it's clearly not just me. Because here's proof of the gaslighting right here.
Yeah. And I felt a lot better. You know, we kind of shared our struggles. And I realized that I wasn't the only person in there because right. when you go there, you feel like you're the only person struggling and that everyone else is succeeding.
Right. Everyone else looks like they're succeeding. They've got Louis Vuitton bags and fancy ties and wingtip shoes that are polished to freaking mirror shine. And you're just like, these people are way more successful than me. I need to absorb all their energy and ask them what they're doing so I can be successful too. But it's all a facade.
It is.
It's all just glitter and sequins, just lipstick on a pig, right?
It is. And of course they're looking at you and they're feeling the same way, but you don't know that.
Right. And they think you're so successful and oh my gosh, he looks so successful. Look at his watch.
Yeah.
Look at his cufflinks.
Mm-hmm. So
the appearance of success, really. The promise of success. Believe in it. Fake it till you make it. Pretend hard enough. Believe in yourself hard enough. Other people will believe in you too. And then you'll be successful.
Oh, you know, and when one of the speakers says fake it till you make it, I look at that and I say, you want me to lie?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I am not going to lose the trust of family and friends by telling them a BS lie in order to succeed in this business. Right. I was raised, you know, to be honest, to be a person of integrity, right. To be a man of my word. And I am not going to compromise my principles for a pyramid scheme. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So with that,
have this realization then. You're like light bulb.
Yeah. So the day of the main event comes and
good old Donald DT
arrives. Yes. Donald Trump arrives, he gives an entire speech, and of course everybody's excited because they get to see the host of The Apprentice on the stage live in person. And right. Everybody's going nuts. Okay. So he gives this, you know, expiring speech volume, like saying, you know, you gotta love you gotta love what you do, you gotta have passion. You know, if you love what you do, you won't work in a day in your life. And one of the things that, you know, was also said was, quoting Jim Rohn, what is work full-time at your job, part-time on your fortune. Okay, that's, yep. And then it goes through the speech and then it comes to the Q&A. Now we're thinking Q&A, shoot, I want to ask him some questions. No.
Probably not already approved questions.
Yeah, you, the regular representative, you don't get to ask him questions. No,
right.
Only the successful regional vice presidents, senior vice presidents, and CEOs, they get to ask him questions.
Right.
And you get to sit there and listen and absorb and admire their brilliance.
Admire them.
Oh my.
Take it in. Take it all in, Russ. Isn't it glorious?
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm okay. I get it. And then once that speech is over, the jerk comes back on. He tells a story about how he played a practical joke on his assistant while, you know, at his house. His assistant was, you know, over by the guy's swimming pool, just kind of relaxing. And he plays a practical joke by calling the police and say, yeah, there's a stranger over on my pool. Can you please get rid of him? And the police come, they talk to this guy, and they eventually end up wrestling into the ground because he does not know why they're there, and he's getting a little nervous, he's freaking out. So they cuff him, they arrest him, take him to jail, and everybody there is
laughing.
What? They're laughing it up. They think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. I'm pissed off.
That is horrible. I mean, that's just a misuse of like police funds and resources anyway. Yeah. Like, I hope nothing real happened while the police were busy dealing with a practical joke.
Yeah, I was not happy. I was livid at that point. And then he says he bailed the guy out and we're good. And I'm like, you bailed me out. We're not
bailed him out.
Yeah.
So he, but it's not real.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just go and say, hey, it was a joke? Probably because you don't want to get in trouble. So instead of just being like, ha ha ha, it was a joke, he just bails the guy out. Now this guy has this on the on his record is like trespassing on his friend's property or his boss's property. That's disgusting. Yeah. And they use this as an example for what? The power they hold or something?
Yeah. Well, he told the story just to kind of loosen everybody up, to get them to laugh and have fun because, you know, we're tired. We've absorbed so much information and we're all about to go home. And once he tells that story, I'm livid. I want nothing to do with this guy. In fact, I want to break this guy's legs. I am not happy with this guy, but
this is
based on the story he just told.
Disgusting. Wow. There's the same toxicity in other MLMs, but like to hear it, I I've never experienced these service-based MLMs and the toxic business personalities that come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
This really, really, really toxic environment.
Yeah. So I'm pissed off. I'm kind of in a bad mood at that point. I'm ready to just fly home and forget about all this. But so I fly home.
We got to talk about the speaker.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the speaker. So Donald Trump is going to speak. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of times, like, here's the thing. I'm not, my podcast is not political. My Facebook is not political. I'm an anti-MLM activist. I'm an anti-MLM advocate. If something comes into the realm of anti-MLM and it's political or it's some sort of social justice movement and it is involved in anti-MLM, I will comment on it.
Yes.
The more I've learned about MLMs in my years of being, and the more I do realize how ingrained they are in the fabric of our political and economic everything, they're just so twisted. It's not a coincidence that there's so many pro MLM people. I'm gonna do an episode on the politics. I just gotta really write it all down and be really careful about it because, again, like my voting history is all over the board. So I am somebody that is like very much in the middle. I look at both sides and I come to my own realizations. And again, like that's just life experience. I was very one way when I was younger and the other way. And that's just where I am now. Like, you know, I'm in my 40s now and that's just where I'm at. But the thing is politics are so much an MLM and it's bipartisan. It's on both sides. So people are like, you're saying things about Republicans. And I was like, just wait until tomorrow.
Yep.
Because I'm going to say something about the other side tomorrow. And it's never one-sided with me. I will call out the bullshit when I see it.
Yeah.
I will say though, and this is a very interesting thing, and this is factual. You can look this up. This is not my own personal opinion. Donald Trump is the ACN. This is in Robert's book, and he talks about this. And it says, North Carolina became home to the headquarters of ACN, the MLM famously associated with and promoted by President Donald Trump. North Carolina is the site of the major distribution center for Herbalife, blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. It says, executives from ACN, according to Harper's investigation, gave $84,550 to North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper since the run-up of the company's relocation there in 2008, nearly 85% of their total campaign contributions during that period. ACN even got $600,000 in tax subsidies to move to Concord, North Carolina, and ACN paid Donald Trump more than $8 million to speak at its meetings and endorse their scheme.
That makes a lot of sense.
$8 million to endorse a scam that boasts a 99.7% loss rate.
Yep.
That is disgusting. I don't care if you love him or you hate him. You could change his name to any other name. The fact that somebody with that much, and this is, I think, even before, this was before he was a president. So that level to ignore that much power behind it. People, when they see Donald Trump and Trump on everything, they think success, 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 success. He's a millionaire. He's a billionaire. He's got casinos. He's got hotels. He's got resorts. He's got everything I've ever wanted. He's the American dream personified. If you were to give the American dream like a personality, like it would be very close to what Donald Trump is. Like just like he has everything you've ever wanted. He's the most successful, successful, successful on the outside, like MLM.
Yep.
It is. You could change the name to anything. Giving anybody with that much influence over people in the business sector, that much money to convince them to join a scam is disgusting.
It gets even worse.
Please tell me.
They have four former state attorney generals on their legal team.
Mm-hmm.
And every time at these conventions, people question their legality, their legitimacy. They will trot out these guys, put them as props, and those guys will, each and every one of them will say, I've been a man of the law for years. Mm-hmm. I've caught people, doing very illegal things. This isn't illegal. This is a company of integrity. This is something very legitimate. And each and every one of them has said that in their own way.
And they're all lies.
And they're all lies. And here's the thing. They're attorneys general. They're politicians first before anything else.
Right.
Okay. You pay them enough money.
Yep.
They'll say whatever you want them to.
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing that's really funny that a lot of people don't know is a lot of former like heads of the FTC now sit on like regulatory boards of MLMs as their compliance department. So the person that like helped create the policies and loopholes to protect these companies are now sitting on these companies' boards going like, I know everything about this. I know exactly what you can and can't say. Let's do some double speak. Yeah. I'm not going to pay you to recruit. You can't get paid to recruit. That's illegal. But once people join, we will give you a bonus because that's not illegal because we did after, not before. This is MLM doublespeak. And it's, I've talked about it before and I'm going to do a whole, I think I just need to do a whole episode on MLM doublespeak because it really is like, it's a real thing. And they use it to convince you of one thing that's completely the opposite. And when you realize it, they go, well, duh. No one told you it was easy. You're like, yes, you did. You said it was the easiest thing. You said I could work from my phone and it was part-time and it was going to be super easy. And then it's not easy. And now I'm the person that's wrong now. It's my fault. Cause you told me it was easy and I thought it was easy. Now you're telling me it's not easy.
Yeah. Oh, and
everywhere, right? Like I'm sure you're like, oh my God, I experienced that so much. A equals B. No one said A equals B. You're like, you did.
Oh, and there is a lot of double speak because they say, you have the opportunity to own your own business with our company. And I'm going to quote a line from Alex Semchuk's Slave Circle documentary, which is very good, by the way. I recommend watching it. A young woman in that documentary says, the business is not yours. It's never yours. It's never going to be yours. You are always going to be a pawn in that game. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't control the prices. Nope. You don't control the flow of inventory.
Nope.
You don't control anything. Okay. You maybe have like a team, but there's always someone above you telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a true entrepreneur and business owner, that would never happen.
Never. Never. If you really owned your own business and you did, whether you're making a product or you're finding a product and reselling it or creating something, you're in charge of all of it. You're in charge of the research and the development. You're in charge of going out and marketing this thing and saying, is there even a want and a need for the thing that I have? Do people even, will people even buy this? Is there even a demand at all? there's no demand in multi-level marketing. These businesses are a closed system. Only 10% of revenue comes outside of the MLM. Only 10% of things actually make it outside of the MLM. In terms of a business, that's horrible. That's horrible. Any business that's only having a 10% like profit outside of its own business would be a complete flop.
Yeah.
The thing is the business is a closed system and all of the customers are in this closed system. And this closed system creates and regulates the not only the supply, but the demand for the supply. They create a false demand for something that nobody asked for, nobody needed, nobody wanted, and it doesn't really even work. And there probably is already a comparable product to this, whether it's cell phone service, lipstick, makeup, food, shakes, insurance, whatever. It already exists in the real world. It doesn't need to exist in this closed system. So they create their own demand for these ridiculous products. And then they create the supply. And then you're like, oh my God, it sold out so fast. It's like, well, of course it sold out. You guys bought it all. Like, you're the customer. Do you not see that? Only 10% of what you buy actually makes it outside of your garage.
Yeah. And here's where we come to the cell phones that they're going to market in the coming year, which is 2007. They give speeches on how they rail against the big phone companies. Now they charge too much, the advertising rates, all of that. But then when you see how they're releasing cell phones, they tell you that they actually partnered with cell phone companies like Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, yada, 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 and to give you the best rates. Well, wait a minute. You're railing against these phone companies and now you're making a deal with the devil? Now you're
working with them.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Well, right. What's up with that? The thing is, you're not supposed to ask that question. You're just supposed to blindly accept it.
Just have faith and trust us. I don't understand why you don't trust us, Russ. Just trust us. I mean, have we steered you wrong yet? And you're like, yeah, like literally every day since I joined. Okay, well, we're still growing and we're still a company that's learning. So you need to have some grace with us.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. You just said you've been around forever, but you're still, what? That doesn't make any sense. How can you be A and B? Oh, because A equals B. I never said A equals B. You're like, okay. All right, I'm confused. And again, it goes back to not really being able to understand all these crazy convoluted rules and regulations and requirements unless you're in it. And the only reason you care about it when you're in it is because it affects you. Yep. So you learn and you understand this ridiculous compensation plan and ridiculous recruiting scheme and the way that things work and the way that things go. Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so... You know, that when it came down to that, I was a bit disgusted. And at that point, it's like, and I'm ready to go home. So, you know, after I fly home, my upline picks me up from the airport. And he asked me how the trip was. I kind of, you know, tell him everything. And then I quote that, I quote the whole jumping in the water with ACN. And he looks at me and he says, "We are going to spread the gospel of ACN to all who will listen."
And now we have the religious speak and the indoctrination. Yep. Okay. Here it comes.
And
just wondering when it would show up. It's here.
I nod and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
Then I slip in the question. "By the way, did you get those customers for me like you said you would?" And he looks at me and he's kind of scared. You know,
what are you Scott talking
says,
about?
"No, what are you talking about?" And I reminded him of what he promised to do. He says, "Russ, I'm not going to do your work for you. That's your responsibility."
Double speak again.
Yeah. So I remember how I was treated. I remember.
And gaslighting too on top of that.
I remember the gaslighting, the horrible car ride, the constantly being talked down to, being yelled at, the rude regional vice president, everything, all those bad memories just come flooding to me at once. And I knew at that point it was time to get out.
Right.
So I called ACN headquarters and I explained the situation, and I said I wanted to leave. I wanted nothing more to do with it. They told me that I needed to write a letter. Yeah. You couldn't email them. You actually had to write out a letter, you know, put your membership number, your name, you know, address, you know, the top top left-hand corner, write a letter explaining, you know, why you were quitting, why you wanted to leave.
Right.
And then
the only reason for the letter is because it's more difficult. There's more steps required. And so it encourages you to just not even bother at all.
Yeah. So most people, they just kind of, you know, go inactive and don't do anything.
That's what most people do. Yeah.
I said, you know what, if that's what I have to do, I'll do it. So I actually went on the
computer. Dear ACN.
Yeah. I went on the computer. I did exactly what they told me to do. I folded up the letter, put it in the envelope, put my return address on, put the address on, put a stamp on, put it in the envelope. And once I sent it out in the mailbox, I was done. Now they told me that I couldn't join for another year. And I said, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Never gonna join again. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'm not
in the year. If you miss us, you're going to have to wait a whole year. So are you sure you don't want to leave? You're like, yes, I am sure.
I'm quite sure. I felt a huge sigh of relief.
What I was just about to ask you, how did you feel when you like stuck that letter in the mail? Because it's the same as like writing that post on Facebook and hitting send or hitting post. How did you feel when you just put it in the mailbox and you're like, I can't get it back now? It's out there.
I felt relieved, but I was also experiencing some PTSD. There was a lot of anger.
Yeah, inside. Scared, fear.
Not so much fear. It was more anger. I wanted revenge. I wanted to rail against the Huns and the Brobots, which at the time I did. Yeah, it didn't work, like you said. But at the time, I was really angry. Okay.
You know, everybody, when they leave, whether it's an abusive relationship, an abusive situation, whether you lose somebody and you're grieving, somebody dies, if you go through any sort of like really traumatic experience of loss, there is a grief process. There really is. And you go through these stages of grief. It's so true, because I was really angry too. And I'm not an angry person. And so to see that rage in me, I was like, who is this person? Where did that come from? But you go through the stages of denial and anger and disillusion. And then you're mad at yourself and there's bargaining and, oh my God. And finally you get resolution.
And yep.
But going through the stages of grief is so normal. It's totally normal to feel angry and duped and stupid. And I can't believe I did this. And so many people lied to me and I believed their lies. How stupid am I? I'm so stupid. It's normal to feel that way. I mean, not forever. If you still feel that way, you know, obviously you get some help, but not you, but just people listening. You know, if you're still feeling anger, then there's some things that maybe need to be resolved. You're 15 years out. You're like, I'm not angry at all anymore. You are on the other side of it. You have resolution. You now sit in the comment section and speak out and agree and like and comment and post and share and say, yes, this is true. I mean, you have an incredible grasp of how multi-level marketing works and how it is a thing that is a definable thing with a start and a history. It's not a business.
No.
It's a thing.
You know, I had a legitimate reason to be angry based on the horrible.
Oh, of course. Of course. Now,
I would not wish that on anybody, not even my worst enemy. Gosh. Okay.
How long did it take you when you were getting out to get past that anger stage and to get into the acceptance and to get into that, oh my God, I was just scammed and I was a victim and I was part of this entire ploy. Like, how long did it take you to really get there mentally?
It took me a couple of years, honestly, because after I got out about a year later, I had a fellow coworker who I was working with at the base. He was part of what was then called prepaid legal. They changed the name to Legal Shield after the death of Travis Alexander because they don't want people remembering that he was killed by another fellow associate. So they changed the name.
But I want to do an MLM true crime episode. I've got a friend that's a true crime anti-MLMer, and I'm going to get her on here and we're going to go through. There's so many weird, crazy, true crime anti-MLMs that I just want to talk about. So that's, I mean, that's crazy that you bring that up, like prepaid legal and Travis Alexander, because I'm sure people don't even know that Jodi Arias was in prepaid legal with him. Like, it's just,
she was.
Yeah.
So he invited me over this prepaid legal meeting. And I, of course, I knew I wasn't going to join. That was not even a question.
Would you go for the free snacks?
I went for the free snacks. And I pretty much, I told my story of what happened in ACN. And this $100,000 ring earner was in total shock. And he's like, I'm not going to rail against that particular representative or ACN, but the treatment you received was so horrible. There's no excuse for it. I'm sorry that happened to you. You will not feel that way here if you decide to join us.
It's not indicative of any other MLM. That's so strange. And it's probably just a one-time thing.
I didn't join.
Of course not.
There's no way.
I was going to smack you around if you did.
Well, I wasn't that stupid. But I went and I said, thanks for the invitation. You know, it was nice, but this isn't really for me. And he was totally cool with it.
Yeah, thanks for the little smokies.
Yeah. However, I did try to do that direct mail thing for a while. That put me in the hole because
is that just another MLM scheme or another
because you're not actually signing people up or recruiting people, you're just putting mailers out to people.
And it's just scammy business practice. It's not necessarily anything other than that. Okay.
But the thing is, it's like, you know, getting the envelopes and getting the stuff to the material to stuff it in, that was not expensive. What was expensive was the stamps.
The stamps. And your time. A lot of people don't ever factor in their time in terms of how much things cost.
Yeah.
And you should base what you're doing on an hourly rate if you're working for something on your own. And if it's less than minimum wage, like if you factor it out and you're like, I worked this many hours and made this much money and it's less than minimum wage.
Yeah.
Take a hard look at what you're doing.
Well, it put me
McDonald's is hiring.
Yeah.
And the guy there was like, here's an application. You guys are in a pyramid scheme. Like,
yeah.
Come join me on my team. We actually pay you money every week. You actually will get money every week here.
Yeah. Well, that ended up not panning out because I was like in a financial hole at that point. So I quit that.
Tell us how much you lost in ACN if you don't want to, or you can round it to a figure that's not as scary.
I know exactly how much money I lost in
ACN. Do you want to share? Will you share with us?
Yes, I will be happy to share. It's a lot cheaper than most of you. So I do apologize if you compare it to pennies, but I lost
$869. $869.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and see, it's like people don't see that because they're like, but I made money. And I was like, yes, but you spent more than you made. So you did make money in MLM. You made $100, but you spent $200. So you didn't make any money. You see, mm-hmm. Like that's the gross figure is what people are like, I don't understand. And I was like, you spent more than you made. That means you lost money.
Well, several years later after this, I kind of get with an actress who I worked with in a play because I happen to be a film actor, stage actor, as well as voice actor. So we did like this Theater of the Absurd play years before. I meet with her, I reunite with her, and we meet over at Maggiano's. There's two reasons you meet over at Maggiano's. One, it's either a business thing or you're in a very serious relationship that you're they're taking.
Oh, because it's fancy. Yes. It's impressive. Maggiano's is impressive.
Yes.
Okay.
So we meet over at Maggiano's, and of course, you know, we're catching up on things we did and everything. And I felt like, okay, wow, this is, you know, it's like, you know, maybe I can get with this girl, start dating or whatever. No.
You're thinking she might be interested. We're going to a really fancy restaurant. Like maybe.
Yeah. No, she basically tries to sell me Rodan and Fields and kind of.
What?
Get, yeah.
Is there a men's line? I think there's a men's line.
There is.
Which is funny to me because it's like, we have the same skin is skin at the end of the day. Like,
yeah. But she's like, you know, you're an actor, you know, you're over 30, you know, the roles as you get older.
Oh, that's what her. So, there it is.
If you can use a skin products, you'll look a lot younger. You'll increase your chances of being cast. And I'm like, look, I'm not interested in being a representative of this.
Predatory.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's interesting because I've heard so many stories about women being preyed upon by the Rodent and Fields brand, but to hear a perspective from you, that's like, I'm like, what would they even try to get you on? But it's the actor looking younger so that you can get more roles. You're like, old people are in shows too, you know,
like, yeah.
All kinds of, like, that's the thing. Like, I will hear people be like, oh, you need to be like skinny and young to be an actress. And I was like, a lot of shows I have like really fat old guys on it. So I don't think that's necessarily true. Like, if you're trying to have an accurate representation on TV, you should have an accurate representation. So having wrinkles shouldn't be a deterrent for getting a job.
Exactly.
But it seems that she's all, but this might work. I'm gonna try to prey upon him by saying he looks old. And you're like, I don't care if I look old.
She did kind of like give me some products to try out. I like, you know, put on my face. My skin was so sensitive. It's like, I didn't break out in rash, but it was just, there was irritation.
Burning.
When I put that cream on my face. Yeah. It was burning. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
redness,
I was like, yeah,
and burning.
Yep. Yep. And then like, what was it in 2019? I'm kind of like going on, going on the date with this event planner. We go to this restaurant over in Denver Tech Center. And sure enough, her friend is running Legal Shield. And there's an actor there that is, you know, a guest speaker. I actually did get to talk to him, by the way. He was a very nice guy, but I was pretty much dressed like you see me now. I wasn't dressed in the suit and tie. I was dressed like this. Yep. I came in there. I was the only one underdressed and I felt pretty damn good about it.
You're all, I know what this is.
Yeah.
Wow. How, like, it's just, it's incredible to me because again, it's like the male perspective is something that I've never experienced in this industry. And I wouldn't think that service-based analysts, especially like skincare ones, would go after you. And then prepaid legal, like, well, you're an actor. You're going to need like some legal help sometimes, like something might happen. Prepaid legal came to my, because I'm a hairstylist 20 years ago, prepaid legal came to my beauty school and did a pitch while we all sat there. And they were like, you know what? People get cut. You do the wrong color. They're doing all these horror stories, which mind you, in the 20 years I've done hair, have never seen any of the horror stories that they used as an example. And I was like, this seems like a giant scam. And they were preying upon cosmetology students, telling them that once they got into the real world, that customers would be suing them constantly. And so we would need prepaid legal to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm in beauty school. I don't have any money to buy this. This is insane. You should not be. No, we're broke. We have no money. But again, if you have no money, that's another reason why you should join, because there's a business opportunity as well.
Yep. And they even explained that. And it's nothing I haven't heard before.
Right.
But you know what? I'm not a fool.
Right. Isn't it funny? Like, I got preyed upon by a Rodan and Fields hun literally the day after my birthday. So I just turned 40 last month, like 2 weeks ago or so. the day after my birthday, she goes, "Hey girl, happy belated birthday." You know, like, I don't even know who this person is. She must've been a hun that I added when I was a hun. And she's like, "Oh, happy belated birthday. As a super special gift to you, I wanted to offer $40 off on anything that I sell in my Rodin and Fields boutique." And I'm just like, you clearly have no idea at all, because I'm very anti-MLM publicly, nationally, internationally, very like well known in this tiny niche of being anti-MLM. And this hun clearly doesn't follow me or look at anything on my page, and really just used that little like friends that had birthdays recently part of Facebook and just sent, didn't even say anything on my page, just sent me a message the day after. "Happy belated birthday. Here's $40. And I'm like, okay, like that's proof to me that that is just another recruiting and sales tactic. This girl isn't interacting on any of my posts. She's just messaging me the day after my birthday and saying that she'll give me $40 off whatever I buy as a gift.
Yeah.
Tacky. Tacky AF. I was like, ignore. I think I unfriended her. I was like, thank you for showing me. Thank you for coming out of the grass, you little snake. I don't want this stuff. You know, I don't unfriend people because I don't agree with them. I have to start unfriending these huns because they keep popping up and I just don't want it anymore.
No.
And I don't know who this person is. If she was like my cousin or like my best friend or like a good friend from high school, I wouldn't have done that. But she's just a hun that I collected when I was a hun. She's just someone I probably tried to sell leggings to, you know?
Yep.
It's insidious. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is incredibly insidious.
Yeah. That's knock, my knock. Grocery delivery driver.
Just oh, like... Go get your groceries real quick.
Okay. All right.
Yay. Now you have food again. So I looked up, before I called you this morning, I looked up ACN scam and ACN like income disclosure statement, because it's very, very hard to find those. And I didn't actually find an ACN disclosure statement. I did find income disclosure statements and compensation plans, but none of them actually said like ACN. So I couldn't really for sure be sure that it was ACN's numbers. I mean, pretty much the numbers are all exactly the same. But what I did find was I found an article from 2016 that Robert wrote on NASDAQ.com. And he actually brings up this. He says, similarly, ACN, the MLM famously endorsed by Donald Trump, offers nothing for USA participants, but does offer an average income figure to Canadians in terms of a income disclosure statement. So they have one for active distributors. ACN discloses in a tiny print link at the bottom of the page called earnings statement that in 2010, the average income was approximately $500 a year, which is less than the cost of joining and participating. These absurd income claims indicate why so many other MLMs offer no disclosures to USA consumers for due diligence use, and those that do inevitably concoct grotesquely misleading documents. So I thought that was interesting. I couldn't find it anywhere, but good old Robert always comes through. And in 2010, it was $500 a year for Canadians. They don't even have the American statistics.
Robert Fitzpatrick is the man. I would love to talk to him about my experience because
he's so great. He really is. He's like, I super fangirl. He's going to be on the show. I keep telling people, I'm like, Robert's going to be on the show. I'm so excited. Him and I have had very lengthy phone conversations in the past, and he's just so cool. You have
my express permission to tell him my story.
Oh yeah. I will send him the link to this episode. And it's definitely going to be a two-parter, like most of my incredible, interesting interviews with people. I will definitely let him know, because this is one of the more out there stories. I mean, we've heard about like in the past episodes about like the magic blueberry juice and like all of these other crazy claims, but like you're just your personal experience in the van of death and like the whole thing, all of this crazy concoction to just convince you that it was a good idea literally led you in the exact opposite direction, made you realize it was a scam almost immediately, no matter how much you put in, no matter how much positive, toxic positivity reinforcement you got or negative reinforcement that you got, you still came to the same conclusion and you were like, no, these are scams. Like, this is a scam. This is a scam. Yep. And the one you invited to me next week is a scam. And this one was, and that one is, and everything from this moment forward is going to be. And that's what they are. That's what Robert says. That's what I say, that these are systemically designed to funnel money. There's no other explanation to how, like, it's formulaic. It's absolutely formulaic. There's a reason that top earners leave MLMs and start their own MLMs, because once they get up in those top positions, they see where the real money comes.
You know, and here's the thing. I recently did a little research on some former regional vice presidents who were in ACN at the time of while I was there. I wanted to see if they were still in ACN and if they rose to the level of regional vice president or senior vice president. Here's the thing. Quite a few of them have left ACN, went to another MLM, brought their entire downline with them, and are now one of the top representatives there. Like one couple went to Kiani, another one went to, I think,
we just talked about Kiani in the last episode. I know it's not up yet, you haven't, but we literally, like last night, we had a whole long discussion about Kiani, the magic blueberry juice. Incredible. Another guest. You have another friend. Is that someone else knocking on your door?
Yeah, he's just knocking on the thank you. So
I love this like life aspect, because you know, we're all home, we're all stuck at the pandemic. I'm doing this podcast from my bedroom. I have an Amazon microphone and headset. I'm not fancy. Literally, that's my bed behind me. And I kind of actually like hearing, sometimes my dog will bark, or like you'll hear my kid open the door and go, Mom, and she's like, oh, you're done. Or like your grocery delivery showed up, or you're saying thank you to the person that's like dropping something off. So I kind of think it's fun. It's like, we're all stuck at home. What else are we going to do? Listen to my podcast while you drink your coffee and check your email and go, oh, they're getting groceries delivered at the same time as I am. That's totally normal. That's our new normal. So I embrace the realness and the authenticity of me doing interviews literally in my bedroom. I think it's kind of fun.
Oh,
I'm not professional by any means.
Totally. You know, the good news is, like next week I'm going to be talking to, Jess M.
Yes!
Ray, who recently interviewed you, and you interviewed her.
I love her.
I emailed her the same story, and she's like, oh my God, I want to talk to you.
So she told me that yesterday, so I already know. Because I told her, we did a clubhouse. We did an MLM debunking clubhouse. We like to do those on the mornings during the week. And we will show I'm not show, because it's a radio thing, but I'll put it on my Instagram so people can see, but I'll debunk things that I see in anti-MLM groups, like that Huns post, or like, oh, it sounds like MLM, but okay, it sounds like a full-time income to me. And I'm like, okay, well, let's break that down. It's not. So we do those sort of chats in the morning on Clubhouse. And so I was saying, oh, I'm so excited because tomorrow I get to interview a guy and I've never, and she goes, I know who you're talking about. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, he's going to be on my show too. And I was like, oh, Russ is great. And she's like, yeah. So.
Yeah. You know,
the more we can get everyone's story out, the more channels that we can reach. There's no competition for me in the anti-MLM world with my advocate girls, like, and guys, like, the more we can get this message out, the more people can corroborate stories, the more people can say, yes, I can relate to that, it happened to me, the better. I'm not here for the drama. I'm here for the education.
You know, one of my favorite content creators is Josie. I actually sent her an email wanting to talk to her.
She'll
talk to you.
She
hasn't replied because I guess she's busy, but she's one of my favorite content creators. She's like the older sister that I never had that I wish I had. I'm the oldest in the family, so I can say that.
Yeah, I'm the oldest too. I love Josie.
Yeah.
Her and I can talk forever.
I would love to talk to her, you know, tell her my story. I love to talk to Alonda Carter, who I think is a mother.
I love Alonda too. Yeah. These are all my friends. I will, you know, I'll just send them this clip and say, hey, look.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We mostly talk to women because men aren't as open about their failures, quote unquote, because they're not really a failure, but and maybe that's wrong, but like, that's just my personal experience, is most of the people that reach out to me are women. Most of the people that are victims in this industry are women, and I'm a woman, and most of the people that reach out to me are women. And so it's really interesting to see it. Like, I mean, I've said it a million times, but it really is an interesting perspective to see it from a male's perspective, and the way that you were groomed and the way that you were manipulated and the things that they thought would get your heartstrings and clinch you. Very similar, like at the very base, like it is emotional manipulation. Like, don't you want to be better? Don't you want to have more? Don't you want to be the best? But like, don't you want to create a future for your future family you don't even have? Versus like, don't you want to be a good mom and wife? It's the same thing. It's the same. That's what's crazy to me. It's the same manipulation. It's the same guilt, but it's just slightly skewed for just a different person.
Yeah, no, it is. And no, the thing is, like, for the guys who are, you know, in finance or legal stuff, or
yeah, all the service MLMs.
It's the same. It's the same thing. I'm also one of the people I would love to have you guys talk to is documentary filmmaker Alex Semchuk, who
directed
The Slave Circle.
Yeah.
He exposes the direct selling side.
Yeah, I'd be all about that. I don't know him. I guess I could reach out.
Oh yeah. Please do. He's like,
I was told you're the person to talk to. I mean, those are the emails I get. I get so many random emails and messages that are always like, I was told that you were the person I should talk to. And I'm like, hey. So I'll just have to use the same line that's used on me, on him.
Well, it's like, if you were to talk to Alex, he would expose the direct selling side, which he often talks about the people in the stores, like the Walmart and the Costco, that advertise, you know, free gifts. And they go through a presentation of advertising a product that you don't need.
Right. That's expensive. You don't need it. Like powdered celery. It's my favorite product you don't need. Powdered celery.
Yeah.
but it's 50 bucks a tub.
He talks about like the business behind that and the people that are involved who work countless hours for little to no money.
The Cutco people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Smart Cutco Circle, people. The Sidcore. Yep.
I see the Cutco people at Costco all the time. And I'm like, no, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. My mom actually, when I was growing up, we had a friend that was selling Cutco. And he reached out to my mom and she was like, I'll take the pitch and get the free paring knife or whatever. I'm telling you, my dad, rest his silly little soul, loved Cutco knives. And so every year for like any gift or anniversary, Christmas, anniversary, birthday, anything, my mom would get him another Cutco knife. And they have this massive, like multi-$1,000 Cutco, like huge. I should take a picture of it and post it. I will. I'll put it in the show notes. I'm going to write that down, but like Cutco knives, because people are going to be like, what? Massive. She has like 10 steak knives. I mean, we have a family of four and we have 10 steak knives. And everything. She goes, she's very morbid because of COVID and my father being gone. She goes, when I die, do you want these? And I looked at her, I'm like, are you fucking serious right now? And she goes, what? And I go, why would I want MLM knives? I'm an anti-MLM. She's like, there's thousands of dollars of knives here, Roberta. And I was like, I just can't stand on a platform and say, don't do this. And then be like, sure, I'll go ahead and just will me those knives. So she's like, fine, I'll give them to your sister. And I turned and she's got this like antique phone on the wall. I said, I'll take that though.
Right.
She's like, you want that phone? I was like, yeah, I want that phone. I want that phone. And I want that old rotary, like the plastic rotary phones. We have one. You can't call out on it because it's obviously rotary, but it does ring and you can answer it and you can have phone calls on this old rotary phone from the 70s. It's like Bakelite plastic. It's amazing. I'm like, I'll take that one too. She's like, you don't want the knives. Like, I absolutely do not want these knives. Not at all. I said, in fact, if I get them, I will sell them and buy better knives. Yep. And she looked at me like blasphemy. I was like, give them to Katie then. I don't want them. So that's how I feel. If I had purchased them myself, I probably would keep them. But I didn't. I do have things around here. I have a Scentsy warmer that I spent a ton of money on. That's so stupid. And I kept it because I like it and the way that it lights up. It's like really cool, but I don't burn Scentsy wax in it. I buy Jessica's sister owns, Windermere Candle Company. And I bought waxes from her. So I buy her, my wax melts from Jessica's family. They're delicious and smell wonderful. I think they're soy based. And every single person that comes to my house is like, smells incredible in here. And I was like, I know. And it's not Scentsy. It's not Scentsy. And it's cheaper than Scentsy. And it's bigger than Scentsy. And it's better than Scentsy. And I like it a lot better. And so for me, always just, you know, moving on and not supporting MLMs currently, if you've spent the money on it and you've got tons of stuff, as long as it's not harmful to you, like harmful to your health or like making your skin break out or things like that. Yeah. I mean, it's money that you wasted. And so I feel like sometimes using it is another, like, see, just use this up so you remember to never buy this again.
Yep.
But I have thrown a lot of MLM stuff away. But yeah, those knives. So every time I see them at Costco, I'm like, I have enough of these. Thank you.
Right.
I have like thousands of dollars of these. I'm good.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I want to talk to everybody. So if anybody wants to talk to me, I always say that at the end of these shows, I always say, you know, email me. And the other thing that we do at the end of these shows is I do my rapid fire questions. And so I'm going to do that. We're going to rapid fire these questions out really quick with you. And
all right,
just tell me what you think. Just go, just whatever pops into your head. No judgment, no censorship. Let it fly. All right, Russ. All right. One word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
Scam.
One warning to somebody who wants to join an MLM.
You want to lose money? Because that's a good way to lose money.
Worst MLM in your opinion?
Well, I'm going to be a little biased and say ACN, but right. I have seen betting on zero and the stuff and grand, that happened to those poor people with what was it?
Herbalife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
those nutrition
that's uncalled
clubs.
For.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else? The government in LA let it happen.
Yep.
And our current vice president let it happen too.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Hardest lesson that you learned while in multi-level marketing.
Hardest lesson like what?
Hardest lesson that you learned while in multi-level marketing. There's so many.
Your friends really are.
Your friends. Yeah. Cause the ones that were saying that they were your friends were the ones that were trying to get you in. And the ones that were actually your friends were like, Russ, really? This is a scam.
Yeah.
So know who your friends are and trust them. People that love you aren't jealous of you. They want your best interest. They want you to be happy and they want you to be successful. People that love you and know you don't wish for you to fail. So that's a lie in multi-level marketing that you should never, ever, ever believe. And then the last question, which is kind of my favorite because the answers are just really great. And I like to end on a positive note, a positive takeaway from MLM that you learned that you still use to this day.
It gets better.
Gets better.
The day you leave, okay, you're going to be going through an anger phase, but over a period of time that your emotional reserves will dry and you'll have a bit of a release and you can use that for good to not only keep others away from MLM, but if anyone offers you the opportunity, you'll have made that decision ahead of time not to join.
You'll recognize the signs. There are so many signs to the grooming of multi-level marketing that people just ignore as a friend trying to just meet up for coffee. And there are so many of these grooming signs and it's so commonplace. I mean, MLMs have been commonplace since the 40s. and really commonplace since the 80s. And so you look around and you see that Avon lady and the Mary Kay stuff and the prepaid legal and the Herbalife and the Amway. And it's been in your life for so long as a normal thing. That's part of the grooming to normalize multi-level marketing as not a cult and as a business. But those of us who have done the research, the actual research, when people, when Huns go, do your research, it's not a pyramid scheme, those are illegal. I have done the research. I have. That's why I know this stuff.
Yeah.
So well, do the your research. Will say, yeah.
Here's what the robots say. They'll use the word scam as an anachronism and they'll say, still confused about money. It's only a scam if you fail at it.
But 99.7% of people, quote unquote, fail. So
yep.
We using their logic, your company's a scam. It's yeah. only a scam if you fail and 99.7% of people fail. So it's a scam. MLM yeah. doublespeak well, right there.
Well, and that they'll say that network marketing, that's what they use
for MLM. Yes. Oh yeah.
They'll say it's created over 100,000 millionaires.
Right. No.
No,
not at all. Yeah. So it's incredible. Thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you so much for spending like your Saturday morning with me and telling me your story and maybe giving hope to some people out there that are stuck in this, or have friends and families that are stuck in it. And they resonated with your story. So it's so important. If you have a story that you want to share and you want to be on the show, I would love to have you, especially if we haven't talked about your MLM and you have an experience that we haven't talked about. I want to hear about all of them, but especially if you're sitting there going, man, I bet you'd really like to hear about my time in Amway. You are correct. Email me, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. Make sure you're liking, subscribing, sharing all of the stuff you're supposed to do with podcasts. Get it out there. Let's end the stigma of failure in an industry that's systemically designed for you to fail by sharing these stories, relating to each other, and realizing that it's a scam and it's not your fault. All right.
You know what? It was a pleasure.
It was a total pleasure. And I'm so glad that we actually finally got to do this. We've been talking about this for so long. And so thank you so much for being so vulnerable and so open and for sharing. And again, it's life after MLM, man. And it gets better. It's so sure great does. That you said that because it really, really, really does. So I will see you guys next Sunday. And other than that, have a great rest of your day. See you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.